Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
1968, April 4th, Dr. King was assassinated. And I can remember the riots that took place and all the unrest that was taking place. I was 14 years old and sitting at the table and visiting with my father and trying to ask him, what is all this, right? And now all of a sudden you spin it forward 52 years later. I got two daughters, Gabrielle and Vicky, 14 and 13, and I'm sitting at the supper table and they're asking me, Daddy, why is this all happening? Why did the police do that to that man? It's amazing.
The players have been stubborn. The owners have been stubborn. Everybody's been stubborn here. So this is the thing I think that ultimately will get them moving. Now, will it get them moving in the right direction? That is what remains to be seen.
And now, a man who's never been described as stubborn, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here for the Tuesday edition of the program as summer has arrived. You get back-to-back-to-back days. You are talking of heat, I'm talking about. You are talking about summer, and that is where we sit right now. We thank you for making the program a part of your day, for listening to Sports Radio 810 WHP. We do ask that you kindly, if you do enjoy what we do, show your appreciation by frequenting our fine sponsors like Worth Harley-Davidson North. My guys, Rick Worth and his great team up there, Chris Guerin, the general manager, they do great, great work up there. There is no better bike to buy than the Harley-Davidson motorcycle, and nobody has a better selection than my friends at Worth Harley-Davidson. So if you are thinking about a new or pre-owned bike, please go see our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. It is a great Kansas City company, like I said, family-owned and operated for years and years and years. Rick Worth and the guys have you covered. Everything that goes on you when you go on your bike, everything that goes on your bike, and of course, yes, the bike itself, you're going to get it right now at Worth Harley-Davidson. You can find them at WorthHarleyDavidson.com and check out their new and pre-owned inventory. Remember, they're happy to deliver to your home. That is right. They will bring it right to your home. So take advantage of that. It is Worth Harley-Davidson North, the best Harley-Davidson dealership in the Midwest. Go see him today, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. Much to get to. I don't know about mutts. We might. I don't know. Got any mutts coming up?
Maybe one or two.
We're going to throw that at Sam McDowell.
Wow.
We're going to call Sam McDowell a mutt? Wow.
Taking shots at the guests that I book?
He weighs about as much as your average adult dog.
Just let that go.
About 65 pounds.
That mistake. Yeah, I'd just let that go. I don't think there's any digging out of that.
He can handle it.
Sam has enough snark that he'll be able to get back at Curtis, I'm sure, in the 3 o'clock hour.
You're saying he's a big boy. He'll take care of himself.
I am.
He will just casually sit there and in this voice just destroy me rhetorically.
Probably there'll be a little bit of that. I'm sure. We can all hope, right? I mean, am I right?
I'm actually looking forward to that.
Lonnie Goldberg, assistant general manager for the Kansas City Royals, or the Yalls, as it says on my show sheet.
We didn't have
Yalls
enough
Yalls,
GM. But you get it.
I mean, Yale? Is he assistant GM at Yale? You just missed the E there.
Can we? Yalls. Lou Gehrig going to be on the program? LG Man. And from Yale? Is that what he's thinking? This is Lou Gehrig.
It's kind of a country affectation. Lonnie Goldberg is Yalls' assistant general manager.
Well, not really.
That's what it is.
My
Come
buddy
on,
Scotty
now.
And I would joke around when the Royals were playing baseball, and we'd be like, "Hey, man, we watching the Yalls tonight?" Let's do it. What time are they playing? First pitch. So it's a shorthand. So it's my great friend Scott Lucas.
Well, they would be hosting the White Sox tonight. I kind of occasionally keep track of where they'd be if they were actually playing. They'd be
Sox and y'alls. At what time? What,
second
7:05?
Game, 7:10.
See, there you go.
By the way, let's not act like you occasionally keep track. You have the app on your calendar that has the schedule there, like the rest of us, where it's every day we see what game would have been there. Like you're doing some, you know, yeoman's work to keep track of where the schedule would be. You open your damn calendar on your phone, and right there it is.
There it is.
That's, you know, I've actually been following the schedule here. My intense studies.
Yep.
I like that.
I got to justify it somehow.
I also like the fact that you and I both are old enough that YALS is close enough with our poor vision now that it might be Yale. You know, that might be Yale. Is that an S? Is that an E?
I can't tell.
Times New Roman, you know, S-E, difficult to tell. Anyway, Lonnie Goldberg, we will not bore him with this conversation. We save that just for you folks here to open the program. No, hardcore, hard-hitting baseball talk. The draft is days away. Technically, it's always days away. It's about how many days.
Yeah.
But when it's under 2 weeks, it's days away in my book. Is that fair?
Yep, I agree.
Okay.
Once the next unit of measurement is singular, you can go to the one below it.
Okay.
Once you're less than 2 days, you can say hours. Once you're less than 2 weeks, you can say days.
I'm going to rock right now, as a matter of fact.
You're not internationally known, but you know, I've heard you're known to rock the microphone.
That's right. I get stupid. Being outrageous.
There's a lot of
stay
people
away
who
from
are,
me.
Know what this is.
Which, by the way, is that not the anthem for right now?
Yeah.
Outrageous, stay away from me if you're contagious.
Yes.
It's coronavirus anthem if I've ever heard one right there. There you go, Rob Bass.
Yeah.
Who knew what, 40 years ago?
Unfortunately, unlike Lee Greenwood, they can't continue to make money off of their broadly applicable song. Well, because.
Why?
I don't know. I'm proud to be an American. Lee Greenwood's made $3 billion off that tune. And Rob Bass can't make anything off of us all being contagious. Seems unfair.
I don't know if we pick up the anthem.
We should try that. We should. Our goal should be to make Rob Bass some money.
We're a long way from the highway right now. I mean,
yeah, I'm normally not quick. The one to say this, but I think we've taken that joke about as far as we could have.
Totally. There's another one I could add there that would be funny, but it would insult somebody, and so I'm not going to do it. But just know I had a zinger, so everybody chuckle at home.
Oh, that's good.
This is why how far we got astray is why I don't get off the highway unless I can see the gas station that we're going to. I'm not like, gas this exit to like get up to the stop sign where it says 14 miles to the right. Up yours. If you can't build it close enough to the highway, I ain't getting off.
Yeah.
Okay?
Poor planning on your part, ..
Yeah. Nate Taylor with us from The Athletic in the 5 o'clock. A lot of Chiefs football, it sounds like. You know, there's I keep hearing people, there's no story to Chris Jones right now.
None?
No, there's none, so we're not going to talk about that.
Cool.
Because there's no story.
Well, I'm making it the story on our show, clearly, so get ready.
Well, I'm just hearing people say it's no story. There's no story. Why are you talking about it? Well, I do think the franchise-tagged player and his any update, even if the update is there's no negotiation, I think that's a story. But, you know, that's just me, you know, messing around with the cap.
It's just you.
Worrying about the roster. You know, I'm finicky like that.
Silly boy.
So whatever. Okay. I digress. I want to talk about Zion Williamson, forced to testify. Judge says Zion, you got a talkie. A Florida state court judge today denied New Orleans Pelican rookie Zion Williamson's request. There was a day when I could read. I don't remember when I lost that.
I think that's when you started seeing Yale on the sheet. I think there's probably
was.
If you drew a line on a graph, those lines would be parallel.
My tongue is so fat, it doesn't work. I've got a fat tongue. Florida State Court judge on Tuesday, that's today, denied New Orleans Pelican rookie Zion Williamson's request to stay discovery into whether he was eligible under NCAA rules when he played one season at Duke. Okay. The judge ruled that Williamson will be required to answer interrogatories and requests. Would you call it interrogatories or interrogatories?
Interrogatories. This isn't England.
Means the same thing, though.
True. That's what the schedule
yeah.
says.
Yeah. And requests for admissions from attorneys representing Gina Ford and Prime Sports Marketing, who are suing Williamson for $100 million for breaching their marketing agreement. Now, basically, just to sum this up real quick, and then we'll talk about what this means. There was the woman, Gina Ford, owns the company Prime Sports Marketing, and they had an agreement to be his marketing company. He terminated that to go with a giant marketing firm, CAA, which is one of the biggest ones out there. CAA, which is Creative Artist Agency, they're alleging that basically, no, they could not have had an agreement. The reason why it was okay for him to sign with CAA is that, number one, this Ford group, the Gina Ford and her Prime Sports Marketing, were not licensed in North Carolina, okay, and did not have the form or the announcement that, hey, listen, you can lose your amateur status by signing this. So it's a nasty fight. Listen, here's what it is. She's suing for $100 million. She'd probably take $10 million to just go away, but she ain't letting – you know, the biggest marketing prize in last year's draft and in many drafts go for nothing. And this is a fight between a multi-billion or maybe a hundreds of millions company and CAA and a millionaire, I'm sure, with this Ms. Ford. Listen, the bottom line is that this is why I think this is of note. I really don't give a flying fart which company wants to represent or does end up representing Zion Williamson. I really don't. Why this is of note is because what they have now forced him to do, now there's another appeal that's coming, which they may win and get this blocked, but they are forcing him to answer questions about his recruitment to Duke, where they have alleged in court documents that he was offered incentives by both Nike, Adidas, all of Nike, Adidas, and Duke itself. If he has to answer these questions, he will do so under oath, meaning that if he answers them falsely and the information is found, there is proof that he answered them falsely, then he opens himself up to a lot of trouble, in this case, a lot of lawsuits. If you watch the Lance Armstrong documentary, you saw basically that's part of where all his lawsuits came from, him under oath in depositions over lawsuits stating, I never took performance-enhancing drugs. It was then found out, and he later admitted to it, which opened him up to basically perjury under oath, which came back with all kinds of lawsuits, and he ended up having to settle for millions of dollars. It would be in the best interest of Zion Williamson, who's going to be a superstar in the NBA, whether he did or didn't get a buck or two, to simply be honest. And I would point out that Zion Williamson, while he wants to get to CAA, at the end of the day, I don't think he wants all the further lawsuits and all the hassles. At some point, he's got to want this to go away, particularly when he starts playing basketball again. The timing has actually been good for CAA in this because he's not playing ball, so it's not a distraction. So you don't have a client. You don't have a guy who's going like, listen, enough. I just want to play ball. This crap's got to go away. Settle this thing. And to me, I think it's a little bit puzzling that CAA doesn't just write the check to be done with it and move on. I think it actually speaks a little bit to the fact that they're worried he's going to be injury prone his entire career. An injury at Duke in his 1 year, an injury already with the Pelicans. Neither one of them career threatening, but still, it's looking like if you're that explosive, carrying that kind of weight on a hardwood court, that's definitely something that, you know, is going to take a pounding, and they've got a fear there. So, all this, what does it mean? Well, what it means for college basketball is that Zion Williamson, under oath, has got to answer questions about did he receive any money? And the defense, if you will, the folks representing Zion Williamson and ultimately CAA are saying, well, this is a goose chase. You know, you're just trying to you know, drag in things that don't have anything to do with it. And they're doing everything they can to keep Zion from the stand. Well, what does that tell you? If they're doing everything they can to keep him from the stand, what does that tell you?
He took money.
Yes. He's going to say things that certainly aren't going to help their case and certainly aren't going to help them in the court of public opinion. Because the crux of this case, as I look at it, is basically she's going to say, listen, providing him with the documentation that, you know, you can't be an amateur and sign this, right? We believe that as a matter of the law, the statute bars the contract, bars that contract. The issue with respect to amateur status, there's no issue with respect to his amateur status. And in fact, if they wanted to find out the issue with respect to amateur status, eligibility is determination made by the NCAA and made by Duke. I don't think it's relevant here to what's transpiring because, frankly, those determinations have been made. It doesn't absolve their failure to comply with the North Carolina statute. What CAA and the defense for Zion Williamson are saying, listen, he was eligible. He's an amateur because the NCAA and Duke decided he was eligible. Their rebuttal is, very simply, quote, the NCAA is not the final arbiter of that issue. We're able to establish that he was not eligible during that time frame. We are able to establish, so they say they've got proof, that he was not eligible during that time frame, which would be a defense to their claim that our contract was invalid. See, their whole point is, listen, he wasn't an amateur. And we have proof that he wasn't an amateur, so don't pull that amateur crap on us.
We got
and
the
that
receipts.
We signed a kid. We got the receipts. Right? So all that would be invalid. The purpose of the statute is to protect student-athletes, actual student-athletes, eligible student-athletes, from predatory behavior of agents. It's not designed to protect people that are already accepting improper benefits. Right there, they're alleging he's already accepted improper benefits. If you're accepting improper benefits, you are not an eligible student-athlete, and the NCAA can rule retroactively that you are ineligible. It has happened numerous times before. This is not a set-in-stone determination that he's an eligible student-athlete, and we have the opportunity to prove that he was not eligible in that time frame, and that's what we're going to do. Isn't it amazing how the law wants to use the NCAA as law when it's convenient, and then schools don't want any part of the NCAA? They want the law to make rules that are going to be binding. Could it be a bigger mess? Okay, real quick, sidebar, what I've talked about for a number of years now. Why are we letting college football and basketball be our minor league sports? I mean, the hypocrisy here is clear, isn't it? Show of hands, who thinks Zion Williamson got money from a shoe company or from somebody that would be considered at least, at the very least, a booster at Duke? My hands in the air is it's on my roof right now.
Yeah. Likewise.
Mine went up.
There's no way. The very statement that is considered to be one of the more condemning and damning statements about Kansas is what Curtis Townsend is said to mean when he says, well, we got to do whatever it takes to get him. The conversation is about Zion Williamson and what is already being offered to him out there. That is already on the record. And it's insinuated when Curtis Townsend says, "Well, we got to do what it takes to get him." That he's, you know, that has been concluded by the NCAA to mean that they've got to give him more money. Which right there, let's back up. If he's having to do what it takes to get him, he's topping an offer. So where is the investigation of whoever had the offer first to Zion Williamson?
Right.
For Townsend to be offering, doesn't he have to be topping an offer? Or at the very least, at whatever ability you use to connect the dots that are being connected right now by the NCAA against Kansas, which are not an unreasonable connection to make. I want to be clear about that. I'm not telling you that this is all, you know, rainbows and unicorns on the Kansas side of things. But if we're able to determine, if the NCAA is able to determine, and the dots are close enough for them to connect it, that he is meaning to make a better offer, and that means monetary, that means against the rules.
Yeah.
Then he's topping something.
Yeah. The only
by
thing
by the very nature of the conversation, and that something is what they're saying they've got the proof of, what Duke was offering.
Unless I'm missing something, the only thing that Duke could have legally, within the rules, offered Zion Williamson was playing time.
Yes.
Beyond that, you're in trouble.
And so, yeah, so to me, that's what's so amazing to me. Is Kansas guilty? Maybe. I mean, I believe they are guilty, but no more guilty than every elite power school out there. So whatever you want to do for that, and that is also Kansas's point, is that we're not guilty, and anything you got us on, their argument is similar to what my view of it is. They would say they're not guilty. I would say they're all guilty. They would say they're not guilty. I think there's a difference there, but it may be a battle of semantics. But I don't think Kansas is any more guilty than Duke, and I think this is going to be proven. And I think that, you know, there are the potentials for this to happen time and time again. And this is where Kansas, I think, has put together a good legal argument. Doesn't mean they'll win. That if you bust us, every top kid out there is ineligible. They're all on the take. They play in these tournaments. They play for these AAU teams. And furthermore, they've taken flat-out cash. And if you really wanted to find it on Duke, I think Mike Krzyzewski, I think there is a lot, and we had on Danny Tarkanian a couple of months ago talking about his father and his father's lawsuits against the NCAA. And, you know, Jerry Tarkanian's lawsuit against the NCAA is, wait a minute, you're finding nickel-dime things with us when at UCLA, John Wooden has got a flat-out bag man paying everybody's bills. And everybody in college basketball knows it, but you won't go ask him because he's the grandfather of college basketball and you don't want to tarnish his image. So you try to make it look like you're getting something done by beating up on UC Santa Barbara and little-known Armenian Jerry Tarkanian. That was his whole point. Well, Bill Self is certainly not at UC Santa Barbara, and he is not unknown Jerry Tarkanian, whom he was at that point as a basketball coach when his lawsuits with the NCAA started. But this sure does seem like they don't want anything to do with messing with Coach K and Duke. I don't know how you can land on anything other than that. You can land on Kansas is guilty. Fine. That is a reasonable conclusion to come to. But I don't know how you could even get near that without also being like, clearly, Duke is guilty as well.
Yeah, I'm not generally a fan of whataboutism, but I think it's okay to be in that vein here.
I find it amazing. I mean, I just, this is, and I hope that he is put on the stand, because who cares? Zion Williamson's moved on. And if this is what you want to clean up in college basketball, if you're really about college basketball, and if you're a Missouri or K-State fan and you're like, I don't care about college basketball, but screw KU, well, that's cool too. It's a rivalry. You want to see your rival fall. I got it. Okay, so if you're in that group, I'll set you aside. I get it. My enemy's enemy's my friend. Sure, got it. Okay, that's over there. But if you're interested in college basketball, and you can be in that group, just don't be the holier-than-thou that's like, no, it's all about cheating and all the things that went on. Okay, then this is it. This is, you know, Duke and how it works. And everybody knew how it works. Everybody in the machine that is college basketball knew how it works. And this is going to be a layup. And it's why they're fighting so hard to try to keep Zion Williamson off the stand, because he's going to have to be like, yeah, I took like 20 grand this one time. Yeah, they gave 100K to my parents. Yeah, this other school gave me like 20 grand. I didn't go there, but I mean, the guy gave me 20 grand in cash. What am I going to do? I mean, I think you're going to hear exactly what it's all about in college basketball. And to me, and by the way, frankly, I don't care. There's nothing wrong with any of it. In my mind, it's a stupid rule. The kid's worth a lot more money than what he got. That's what the whole name, image, likeness is. And the schools are way too late to tie this back into the ridiculousness of the Power Fives asking the federal government to come in and start writing laws to cover their ass, because for their greed, they have simply just driven this all the way into the ground to where now states have said, oh, it's a joke. Zion Williamson, if he goes on the stand, we're going to hear, I'm quite confident, that he got money from all over the place. All over the place. And if it's Kansas is guilty, then certainly Adidas should have been giving him money, right?
Yeah.
Based on the conversations we heard, yeah. How would he not give him money? How would he not? That's the guy. If Kansas is pulling the strings on everything Adidas does, there it is. There's your marching orders. Let's see the check from Adidas. Let's see the check from Nike, too. That, to me, is where we Okay. All right. Let's stop the shenanigans. Like it was a couple of rogue agents at Adidas. 913-3810-810. I want to talk a little bit about Lance Armstrong. I want to talk about the MLS negotiations. Something important happened last night. I tweeted about it. It was pretty late. But what's going on with the MLS negotiations? I am quite optimistic that we're going to see Sporting Kansas City playing before long. I certainly hope so. It's what's right for the sport. We'll talk about that coming up as well. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
It's me and a bunch of drooling Neanderthal dullards. What more do you need to know?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. MLS, you can go to the phones. I know Tracy's waiting patiently. You can grab a line. Chiefs, Royals, Sporting, K-State, Missouri, KU, always a topic. 913-3810-810. The phone number, 913-3810-810. MLS negotiations, there was an extension yesterday. They had given a deadline. Owners had given a deadline to the players noon Eastern today, so 11 a.m. today was supposed to be the deadline. They had a take-it-or-leave-it offer that was out there. That got extended to noon Eastern tomorrow, so 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll keep an eye on it, but negotiations continue. A couple of things I think are of note about this. I think it pertains on into baseball as well. Some of the dynamics that are at work here. Number one, I do think it's important to know that the players had been getting paid full salary at least through May. And so they, you know, the June checks haven't come in, so they have not missed any money up until now. I think that is a statement by ownership, and I think that's goodwill by ownership. Also, we're talking about pay cuts that the last time they're arguing, and I've been told that this has now been settled, but it was an 8.75% pay cut, right? Less than 10% pay cut that the owners were offering. Players wanted 7.5. That's been worked out. They worked out the opening tournament, pool play, and then single elimination knockout tournament down in Orlando. That's been figured out. That, you know, this is moving very quickly because ESPN wants a deal done. ESPN wants them, one, at the parent company's place in Disney, where I'm sure the MLS is going to be paying rent, for lack of a better term, but for all the rooms that the MLS will be using and for the use of the fields. And then also makes it very easy for their production crew to get a lot of games with a lot fewer people and certainly no travel costs for that production crew on their home turf and get the games up there. So ESPN is driving the bus on this. They want something done, which is why I think the owners were putting an ultimatum out there. But I think it's very important that the players and owners get this done and have a peaceful, harmonious relationship. I think it's important. MLS has a lot of momentum, and they do not want to end up, you know, they're going to extend their CBA through the 25 season as part of this. So 5 more years after this, you do not want to end up with a contentious situation. Both sides need to be happy. Really, both sides need to be a little bit upset. If both sides are a little bit upset about the deal, then they should recognize they got the fair deal. Because if one side's happy, the other side's super pissed, right? And I really hope that the MLS gets this done. And I think it's interesting because I think the other thing that's at play here, ESPN, not only Disney, not only wants to, you know, for lack of a better term, rent those fields, rent those rooms, because they're going to rent them to somebody else. But I think it also, if ESPN can get them on board and on television and get some live programming going, it gets easier to start saying to MLB, like, hey, let's go. Like, you want your slots? Let's go. Get a deal done. And
we're loading up the truck.
That's right. And I think that's why we're seeing MLB has come around and said, okay, we'll pay the prorated. And you're watching MLB, to me, in my opinion, backpedal pretty quick here. They came off their, you know, 50-50 revenue split right away. Okay, we're ready for a pro rata. We're going to pay you per game, but we're thinking like 50 games. They've already backpedaled from that in less than a 24-hour news cycle and said, well, no, that's worst-case scenario. We'll do more than 50 games. And so I think the Major League Baseball players are, for lack of a better term, winning, but they have stood their ground, and owners are now starting to give. I think it'll be important for the baseball players as well to find some harmonious ground. But I do think it's all tied together. I think the MLS is a bit of a bargaining chip against baseball when you consider ESPN is working. That one of the things I was told is that the MLS wants to keep ESPN happy, right? They're a growing league. And I think that's smart business. You know, I think hockey was hurt when they got bounced off ESPN. I know NBC and NBC Sports Network lately have come around and given them a lot of coverage, but it wasn't the same as what they had at ESPN. And ESPN does not cover the NHL the way they did. Like it or not, good, bad, right or wrong, ESPN is a monster force when it comes to growing a sport.
And every year,
I mean, just look, cornhole is now the third most popular sport in America today.
Yeah. And every
year,
when the Stanley Cup playoffs come along, I see on Twitter people going, where are the games? Where's the game? I mean, it's easy thing to find. People still don't know. Everyone knows where ESPN is. Everyone knows what number it is. People still got to look to find NBC Sports.
I'm good. I can hunt through the sports channels, and I'll find them wherever, whatever it's on. Like NASCAR, I like my NASCAR. And Formula One, I think, used to be on a couple of different channels. It's now just on ESPN. But NASCAR, you know, I kind of got to hunt through because it's like part on NBC, part on Fox. And is it on Big Fox or is it on FS1 or whatever? But I find it. I mean, I'm learning. And I think through time, we'll all become educated to where those channels are. But ESPN is still the big force. And so I think it's important for MLS to get this deal done. And if we're down to a 1.25% on anything else, the force du jour, which is a Latin term, legal term, basically meaning that they could, you know, if there was a 25% dip in attendance, I saw four teams and five teams reported that in any one year that they could institute pay cuts. Yeah. Well, that is going to happen this year. So that's now being pushed out, and they're going to go away from attendance figures and find another way to do it. I get it. That's going to be a term you hear a lot in collective bargain agreements about, hey, let's open it up. And if we're in a spot, if we have a pandemic, it's basically pandemic insurance. It's unforeseen circumstances out of our control.
Keeps both teams, both sides have liability if they can't complete the contract because of an act of God, so to speak.
Yes, yes. And so I think it's interesting. So I'm expecting the MLS to maybe one more extension after this, just because things take time, but to come to an agreement in general. I will say this. Well, I think it's been great that the owners have been paying the players all along. Slipping in this force majeure of any kind, they had a CBA agreed to. They had it agreed to. And all that was being hammered out was the language. And that's what always happens. It's why you hear a coach and they have a press conference and it's 4 months later and they're like, the coach still hasn't signed the deal. It's because the lawyers are going back and forth about the language. It always gets done. And you can imagine a collective bargaining agreement's even bigger and takes even more time. I do think it's kind of dirty pool. I don't have all the working details of it, but to be like, okay, we had an agreement. Once you have that agreement, there should be no fundamental changes to it. That's how contracts generally work. Yes, our lawyers got to hammer out all the language of it, but the principal agreements don't get changed. So that was a bit of a dirty pool. I get it. Who saw a pandemic coming? Nobody. But the owners, if they were played a little dirty pool on that, paying everybody full salary all the way through May, that's a pretty good deal, right? How many Americans have put their hands in the air? You know, we know 25% that are unemployed have put their hands in the air. How many have taken pay cuts that would be like, yeah, sign me up for that? So, again, the negotiation I don't think is as hostile as maybe it's been painted here of late. 913-810-810. Let's go to the phones. Tracy wants to chime in. You're in the program, Tracy. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I just wanted to thank you for your comments yesterday. I thought you used your platform very well yesterday, and I know you and I always don't agree on sports, but sports really don't matter. So, and I thought your comments were spot on, and I thought they were heartfelt. So you got a big platform, and you used it very well yesterday. So the other thing that I wanted to say is I think, man, this is a movement this time, because I've always had hope, Saran, that we would get something done all these other times. But this time, I believe it is a movement. And the reason why I say that, because you probably watched it on TV too, these crowds are diverse.
Yeah.
These crowds are white people. These crowds are old people, young people, brown people. And I think that's what it takes. It's just not all African Americans, man. And so we had a little bitty march at my community, and I live 45 minutes north of Kansas City. And I'm telling you, my friend, the crowd was 70% white. It was 70% white. So that's why I have hope that we're going to get something done with it this time. And you asked the question like yesterday, what have we done to try to make it better? The only thing that I can think of is I talked to my nieces, my nephews, my cousins, people in my neighborhood. And I live in a mixed neighborhood. It's really not rich, but we're not poor either. Right. And I talk to them about voting, about being registered to vote, because that's what's going to change. And I don't know about all the violence that we have. The only thing that I can think of to tell you was, it's 400 years of oppression. And that's how these young people are expressing themselves, because it's 400 years of oppression. And you got a platform, and you use it very well today. And thank you very much, and talk to you next time.
Okay, Tracy, thank you very much for the kind words. I appreciate that, and that means a lot coming from you. And you're right, we disagree, and you know what? What do? When we're all said and done, we walk away, and we're both humans about it. I'd say men, but I don't want to act like it's just something two men can do. We're two human beings, right? And we disagree sometimes, but I'll tell you what, Tracy, when you go on the board, I'm always happy to know you're calling, because I know I'm going to get a thoughtful, intelligent caller. May not agree with me. In fact, let's be honest, you probably don't. I'm not saying you always disagree with me, but when you call, you're usually calling to disagree with me, which is great. Right? That you can have a civil discussion about something where, and even be passionate. We can be passionate, you know, and disagree. You and I have gone at it, not gone at it like angry, but been like, you know, passionate about what we're talking about. And when we walk away, we're both friends. And that's how this country should be. That's how it should be and everything. And I'm with you. That's one of the things that gives me encouragement that it will be different this time around, is that it is a more diverse group. I think a lot of white people, a lot of people that are more economically, privileged, if you will, or in a better economic situation, have looked around and like, you know, I listened to this whole debate about Colin Kaepernick, and nothing's changed. They can see it. I think intelligent people have seen that nothing has changed. We had this debate, and nothing has changed. In fact, I'll go a step further, and I'll say that I think intelligent people have looked around and said, it has gotten worse since Colin Kaepernick took a knee, because I think it has.
Agreed.
I think it's gotten worse. And I've spent my whole life being like, well, we got still some ground to cover here to get things to where they ought to be. But there's no doubt we've made progress. Is the progress fast enough? No, it's not. And you know what? I put my head on my pillow and I slept pretty good. That was good enough for me. For one fat ass white guy, that was all right. You know what? We made progress. And I do my part. You know, I'm not racist. My friends aren't racist. I have, you know, a fairly for a, you know, a guy who grew up in a white neighborhood, predominantly white neighborhood, I think I have a fairly diverse group of friends, right? I'd like it to be more diverse, and I've challenged myself to go find a way to make it more diverse. But that was pretty good for me. Like, there was a comfort zone. I could put my head on the pillow and be like, you know what? I sleep pretty good. I'm doing my part, right? I'm leading. I'm teaching my kids the right thing. You know, I'm doing well. But you know what? It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And I think a lot of other people have looked at it and said, yeah, I'm on board for the message, but what have I done? Right? What have I done? I sat back and I said, yeah, okay, I get it. We need change. And then I went back to work. And then I came home. And then I coached the softball team. And then I mowed the yard. And then I went to bed. And then I got up. And then I did it all over again. And all of a sudden, it's 4 years later, and I haven't done boo other than nod my head at looking at somebody else's suffering on the television. And I think this time people got up and were ready to act. And now the question is, you know, the protests are great. And I'm gonna address what you said about the violence here in a second. The protests are a great start, but they're just a start. Right now, how do we affect change? I'm going to tell you, the mayor of Kansas City walking with the march, he at least heard it. He knows how important it is. Is he doing it for political gain? I don't think so. My dealings with the mayor of Kansas City is that he's a straight shooter. I certainly appreciate my conversations with him. Super bright guy, and I've said before, I feel really good about him leading Kansas City, Missouri. Now he's marched. Now what will he do to change the laws? What will we do to change the rules? What will we do to change what's going on? You know, I thought it was great, his comments yesterday. I heard you. I should be out here marching, and I'm out here marching tonight. And it may not, I don't know how far he marched and what all was done, but he did. He got out and he marched. And everyone who's out there is putting themselves in harm's way. And I am terrified that we're going to see a spike in the pandemic because of the close proximity, and I hope everybody can do their absolute best to stay healthy, because I don't want anyone to get sick out of this. But I understand that, hey, I've been called to act, and I'm going to go out there and do it. And I think that's another thing that to me is so impressive is how many people said, I know there's a pandemic going on. You know that there are people that are – there are some people that say, you know, I had somebody tell me that it's a person in our office that thinks it's fake. Okay, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I don't think it's fake. I think it's, you know, it's out there, and it's something that has to be dealt with. And you know, so do a lot of other people when they're wearing masks and marching, but they felt it was important enough. And I think that speaks to where people are. And let me address lastly, you know, there's still more work to be done. The marches will peter out. People can't go out and march every single night, every night for the rest of their lives. And marches ultimately have to turn into laws, new ways of handling things. It's clear that I think our police department needs to be held to a higher accountability. It has not changed. So, you know, a higher accountability has to be there. Whether that's police officers looking at each other, and I know there are stories of police officers taking a knee themselves, right? But whether it's police officers saying, I no longer can just be like, well, you know, code blue stops, right? You never turn in a fellow cop. Maybe that's what needs to change. And maybe they can't change that with him because that's the brotherhood that has to be there. Then the law has to change that forces them to do it.
Yeah. The blue wall.
The blue wall. And even more, beyond that, just as human beings, the racism needs to be changed, and those that are racist have to be outed. They have to be outed. And the people that are not racist have to let the racist people know that we will not tolerate it. Your attitude is not welcome here, and I will not just turn my head. I will not just turn my head and act like I don't see it and then go home and teach my kids the right thing. I will tell you what you have said is wrong. Don't do that. Don't say that in front of me. I will not listen to it. Now, those things have to happen. Let me address the violence real quick. Not for one second should anybody who is talking about protests and is talking about the cause and the mission and what is trying to be accomplished allow themselves to get into a debate or even acknowledge the looting and the rioting. Because those people are not part of the protest. When do people steal things? When people aren't looking. They're opportunists. You know, there's an old adage, locks only keep the honest people honest. That sounds good in theory. I don't think that's the case. But dishonest people that are going to steal and rob, they don't just walk right out and do it in plain sight when people are there and when the police are there to catch them. Oh, yeah, there are people that you're seeing do it in plain sight right now, and it's being caught on camera. That's because they know they can get away with it because all of the police have riot gear on. And that's a sign that we have a problem in our society that these people think the only way that they can get ahead is to rob and steal. That's its own issue. That a large portion of our population feels like the only way I can get what I want is to go steal it when I know there's no cop around, right? That's its own issue. But you know what? That's not the issue right now. Black Lives Matter, right? Taking care of our people of color in this country, that is an issue. That has nothing to do with rioting and looting. And, you know, I listened to all that, you know, the flag and what it means for our military when Colin Kaepernick was going on. You know what it did? It distracted from the point. And if your purpose is to protest for Black Lives Matter and for better treatment, do not allow yourself to get dragged into, because you're not rioting, you're not breaking things. And trust me, the people that are stealing and breaking things are not out front for the cause. I get the anger and frustration. I do. I absolutely do. Those are people. And what anyone who wants to try to distract from what the message is and say, well, these people just want to break things. Yeah, think about where they are societally. Mm-hmm. That they're at a point that all they want to do is destroy property. That is a fundamental problem. That's another problem in our society. Hey, you want to talk about that? Fine. Call me up in 5 days. We'll have that discussion, and I'll explain to you what we need to do to give those people some hope, to give them a mission in life, to give them a career path, a path out to where they can be successful and not feel like their only chance to maybe get their hands on something is to go steal it. You're admitting we've got a societal problem. It's a racial problem. It's an economic problem. And I what I've heard, what I've seen, I'm with you, Tracy. I see people of color. I see white people. I see all kinds of people. You know what else I see that gives me great hope for this country? Lots of young people. Lots of young people. Young people always want to protest. You want to know why? Because they're not tired and broken down like we are, right? So they're more ready. They're more down for the fight. Got more energy for it a lot of times than us old people, right? But there are young people with a passion. There are young people of all different colors together, okay? And I think that's great. And listen, the folks that are racist that are out there, America's turning beige. The world is turning beige. It's going to happen. Right? It's reality. It's one species. It's the human species. Okay? It's inevitable. We have planes and boats. Well, when we don't have a pandemic, we use them. Planes and boats, and the world has become a smaller place. And it is truly the melting pot. The melting pot that everybody loved to talk about is what it's really becoming. It is in this country, and it will be in this world. You can either get with it or get left behind. But it's coming. And it's a good thing. And I'm with you, Tracy. I am. There is a lot to like about what's going on. But it has to continue. It has to move forward. Myron Metcalf said it. We played his cut the other day. We said, that's great. It's the topic of the day today. But what are we doing 10 days from now? Are lawmakers going to be working on the laws that it takes to actually bring change about? Because it's obvious that just like seeing it and be like, okay, that's not right. Everybody got it? That's not how we do things? Okay, we're all good. Let's move on. That doesn't work. That does not work. The system is broken, and it has to be fixed. And it's up to lawmakers. It's up to business owners, corporation, people who run corporations, big money people, powerful people. It's up to them to lend a hand and do the right thing. We'll take a break. We come back. You're in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
I forgot the question. I do that a lot.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping up hour number one. Coming up in hour number two, we're going to talk some NFL football. We'll talk some Chiefs football, to be more precise, I guess I should say. Sam McDowell, one of our favorites, handles the Chiefs beat for the Kansas City Star, is going to be with us. Going to be talking a lot of Chiefs today. Sam McDowell, Nate Taylor. We will talk about the some of the recent conversations that we've had on the Zoom press conferences. Should we be looking at Chris Jones' timeline and the fact that there are no conversations and we're just, 43 days away from the last opportunity to sign Chris Jones to an extension? We'll also talk about Patrick Mahomes' contract. I've been talking to a lot of people about that and what to expect on those numbers, so we'll do that. Coming up with Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. You're listening to the program. It's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. Fine title sponsor. My friends, my guys, Rick Worth, Chris Guerin, all the guys and gals up at Worth. Go see them today at Worth Harley-Davidson North.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, what player scored the first special teams touchdown in Super Bowl history? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.